be seated. Praise God. Isn't it good just to sing together? I know some of you are a little shell-shocked, you know, to actually, you know, turn down the instruments and make sure that our voices are the number one thing that is being heard in this place. Of course, the team doing such a great job, sound is excellent and all that, but there's times we got to make sure we are all singing. Folks, I know that's, you know, for some, that's, you know, that's easier to do than it is for others. But you know what? I just challenge you. Get out of that self-consciousness. Get out of that, you know, your flesh dominating, you know, your thoughts and stuff. You got to put that stuff down. You got to crucify the flesh. Amen. Praise God. Well, you're ready for the word. Go with me over to Psalm chapter 27. And today I'm going to call this message, The Goodness of God in the Land of the Living. Yes. Of course, over the last several months, we've had to remind people that trials come to everybody, right? And we've had to, stay strong in our faith, and we've had to, you know, overcome things. And, you know, no matter what we're facing, we know that, you know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We know God is bigger. We know God is better. We know that he's got the answers. Amen. But, and sometimes it's good. You know, we've got to be reminded that trials come, and we got to be taught how to overcome. But how many of you know, also, just as easy as a trial can come, how many of you know seasons of joy and refreshing can show up as well? Amen. And so often we teach people how to get out of a hard season, and we forget to teach you how to get into a good one. How to get into a good season. And so we're going to talk about that here today. Praise the Lord. You know, we got to remember that we are alive with Christ. We are raised with him. We're seated in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's got a good plan for us on this earth and beyond. Amen. Go to Psalm 27. This was originally not the message I thought I'd be preaching this week. I had ideas, at least I thought they were good. And then the Spirit of God just would not let me get beyond Psalm 27 and verse 13. I know it's a familiar verse to many of us, but we're going to start here and then we're going to go beyond. Praise the Lord. We're going to teach you how to get into a good season. A good season. And we're going to start right here, Psalm 27 in verse 13. Now, we got to remember the context in which David was inspired to write this. He was not having an easy time in life. David was running for his life. There were thousands of people that were assigned to kill him and to bring him down, cast him down, overthrow him, and end his life. And this is something that David said when he was in the midst of this very difficult time. And the King James says it this way. He said, I had fainted, or literally we would say, I would have fainted, or I would have quit. I would have quit unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And what he's talking about here is seeing the goodness of the Lord right here on this earth. Right here in our life. Now, David was in a season, a very tough season of his life. And he's saying, I would have quit unless I believed that the season was going to change. Amen. And the season will, and it does change. And we're grateful for that. Now, I want to point some things out here as we get started. How many of you have a King James Bible with you today? We got several with a King James. Of course, that's not the only good translation of the Bible. There's several. It's my preference as well. But you'll notice if you look in your King James Bible, the first three words, I had fainted. You'll notice that in your King James Bible, it doesn't come up on the screen, but in your on your page there, those words are italicized. Is anybody, can you see those words in italics in your Bible? The reason why they're in italics is because originally in the Hebrew, those three words did not exist in the manuscript. All right, and so the translators of the King James Bible, they put those words in there to help us understand what David was saying. All right, what he was saying. So literally this verse, how it was written, there was like a space or a blank, and we are supposed to fill in that blank. And then it says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible, please? And you'll see the Amplified puts this in brackets and words it this way. What? what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? And those brackets are there, again, because people are trying to express the thought of the scripture here. And what is going on is that, again, it is like a blank space that you could fill in any unknown negative there for David. David could say, I would have quit unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have been crushed unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have been defeated or cast down or overthrown. See, all possible negatives were there for David. And he's saying, what kept me alive? What kept me winning? What kept me victorious is the fact that I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in this life. David was saying, I believe this season's gonna change. I believe that I'm not gonna be running from my life the rest of my life. All right? Now, see that word goodness? You can go ahead and bring it back up in the King James. Both translations are just fine. He said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, David said, I don't know what would have happened. I would have collapsed. I wouldn't have made it. I would have quit. Yeah, see that? Notice the word goodness. Everyone say goodness. Goodness. That word goodness is a very good word, all right? He said, I believe to see the goodness. The word goodness there, it means the beauty, the joy. Yes, it means the beauty. It means the joy. It also means the fairness and the goods and the property of the Lord. Yeah, it pretty much covers it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. The goodness, and also here's my favorite translation of that word goodness, the best. Yes, he said, I would have quit unless I had believed to see the best of the Lord in the land of the living. To see his goodness, his fairness, his joy, his beauty, his goods, right, and his property. So it's talking about being fulfilled in life in all ways possible. Amen. How many of you believe God's got a good plan for us? Yes. Yeah, he said, I would have quit unless I had believed. Notice David didn't just expect the season to change on God's good mood, right? The seasons in our life don't change with the moods of God because God is not moody. The season will change upon our faith. Notice we cannot only just wait for things to get better. We got to believe they're going to get better. Folks, as a pastor, I see a lot of Christians that have this mentality, and I see a lot of Christians who don't have this mentality. There's Christians that are pushing forth, and they believe, I'm going to see the best of the Lord, no matter what I've been through, no matter what's going on in my life. I believe God's beauty is going to surround me in my life. God's joy is going to show up. This new season is going to change. Then there's Christians that start to accept a defeated mentality, and they start to say things like, it's never going to get better. This is just how it is all the time. See, the devil's going to give you thoughts to try to tell you that your trial is the new normal. Aren't you glad David said, this isn't the new normal? I would have quit unless I believed it was the new normal. I would have been defeated unless I believed that I would see the best of the Lord. Amen. The best, the beauty, the joy, the fairness, the goods and the property. God was going to fulfill David in all things. Notice this. Your faith in the hard season will determine the fruit in the good season. David said, how I believe right now in this trial is going to determine what things are like and when the good season shows up. Folks, I know there's a lot of folks going through things. There's been a lot of trials. Don't raise your hand or respond, but is there anybody in here that has gone through any sort of trial over the last few months? Anybody at all? Yes. Yeah. People have gone through things. All right. But that doesn't have to be the new normal. Praise the Lord. We can believe God's best. Amen. And so we know this. Our faith right now in the hard season is going to determine the fruit or what shows up in the good season. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice this. Your faith in the present becomes the new season in the future. What you're believing right now, all right, is going to determine what happens here in the seasons to come. Folks, how you react during the hard time is going to determine how things change for you or what things change for you. Amen. And today I want to give you two keys to getting into a good season in your life. Two keys. Now, this is very interesting because now no promises here, but in Erie last night when I was preaching this message, it ended up being rather short, which me, yeah, all of a sudden we've got giggles in the peanut gallery over here. Praise the Lord. You know, whether this message is short today, whatever the Lord has for us, I know this, that this was not the message that I was going to preach, or even I naturally wanted to preach. And so the Spirit of God is giving this to encourage us, to help us know and understand that just because you're going through a tough time or been through a tough time, you're going to see the goodness of God in this life. Seasons are changing because I'm telling you, there are things that God has shown you, desires that he's put in your heart, things that you've seen yourself doing for God. Listen, he hasn't forgotten about that. You know, there's things that the Lord has shown you that he's going to move into your life, blessings, all right? Listen, don't let go of those things just because you've gone through a hard time. Listen, tough times come, but you know what? Times of refreshing show up as well. Rewards show up, and we're supposed to be believing God's highest, God's best. Do you believe it here today? Yes, glory to God. And so the best, the joy, the fairness, the goods, and the beauty of the Lord. Amen. You know, some things have been going slow for people. Don't give up. You know, don't act like those things aren't going to show up just because things have been moving slow. Listen, there is a waiting process in seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You don't believe me? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 14. You can look in your Bible there. David says, in the midst of his hardship, after he said that he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, he said, wait on the Lord. You know, so I just decided to study that word wait, and guess what it means? It means wait. All right. I wondered if it would maybe have a different connotation than just time. Oh, no, it very much means to have great patience. Have great patience. Wait upon the Lord, right? He says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Because we think tough times should, you know, vacate out of our lives a lot quicker than sometimes what, you know, we've got to wait for. Meaning that sometimes we would rather have things a lot faster than they actually show up. David is saying this. He's saying, be of good courage, because he himself is in a very tough moment right there. He's saying, wait upon the Lord. Stay faithful. Stay in the word. Keep using your faith. Wait until that season changes. It's gonna change. Amen. All right. So let's give you two keys to getting into the good season. Now, turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 1. We had to start there in Psalm 27:13 because we just got to show you. We got to remind you. David said, I would have just collapsed unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, when you believe that, that's going to show up on your countenance. Some Christians act so sad about life. But I'm telling you, whatever is on your countenance, meaning, you know what I mean? You know, you carry yourself depressed all the time. You carry yourself with a defeated kind of personality. I'm telling you, that's what's going to show up around you. But David said, I had great courage. I kept in the fight. I kept going because I believed my season was going to change. I believe I'd see the goodness and the best of the Lord in the land of the living. Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. This might seem like an odd verse to be teaching for this subject, but you know what? It's going to make a lot of sense, and I'm going to connect the dots for us. Go to John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 47. How many of you remember Nathanael? All right. Nathanael did become one of the 12 disciples. Many scholars believe he's the same gentleman that was given the name Bartholomew. And so this is when Jesus is meeting Nathanael, And I have to admit, every time I read this passage, I long for the Lord to think this of me. And I think, you know, I believe that you feel that same way as you read this passage. Watch what the Lord says. Go to John 1:47. We're going to read about Nathanael. And it said this, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him. Now notice Jesus didn't say to him. He said of him. Meaning Jesus saw Nathanael from a distance moving towards him. And Jesus said this to those that were standing around him. All right. Now, I'm sure Nathanael would have been, you know, very blessed to hear what Jesus was going to say. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Everyone say guile. It's a strange word, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But when I read this verse about Jesus talking about Nathanael, I want the Lord to say that same thing about me. How about you? Yeah. You know, do you want the Lord to feel that way about you? I believe you do. Now, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, here is a true, pure believer. Here is a true descendant of Jacob because his heart is connected. This man has no guile. We're going to talk about that in a second. Let's keep reading. Nathanael said unto him, where do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And Jesus said to Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now notice we can't prove this or disprove it in the word, but we know this, that verse 51 was spoken specifically to Nathanael. He wasn't saying that to everybody. He said it to Nathanael. And I personally believe, and I don't usually just give out my personal feelings, you can take or leave this, you understand. He said to Nathanael, he said, you're going to supernaturally see the angels of God. You're going to see them ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You're going to have a supernatural life, Nathanael. Why was Nathanael going to have a supernatural life? Go back up to verse 47. That's where our answer is. Because he says, a true believer in one in whom there is no guile. Everyone say, no guile. No guile. Here's the number one key to seeing the good season of God in your life. Live the guile-free life. I know, not exactly a catchphrase. You know, not exactly the title of a book. The guile-free life. You know, I don't know of any books entitled that. But you say, why are you speaking about guile? Let me connect the dots for you. Hold your place here. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're coming right back to John 1. Hold your place there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10. And we will just take a real quick look at this verse. I think everybody in this room can relate to this verse or have a desire to see this promise come to pass in their life. All right, here we go. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life, notice God wants you to love life, not live it all complaining and offended and disgusted about your life. I tell you what, if you're disgusted about your life, you're doing something wrong. And what I mean is that we're not living in the revelation of God if we don't love life. We're supposed to love life. That doesn't mean we're supposed to love things. We're supposed to love and enjoy life. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak what? No guile. All right, so here is the dots being connected for us. How many of you want to love life? I'm going to get, okay, three of you. Wonderful. I didn't realize we had such a manically depressed church on our hands here. How many of you want to love life? Yes. How many of you want to see good days? Yes. Notice you cannot be speaking guile and seeing good days. The term good days could be translated the good season. The good season. God has a good season, and notice your words will determine whether you get into it or not. Your words determine whether you get into the good season of God or not. Now, Nathaniel was one with no guile. Now, if we're going to love life and see good days, we can't speak any guile. So I guess we better know what guile is. All right, are you ready? I went down to that church and that pastor taught me all about guile. That's right, because it's going to save your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. The term guile, are you ready for this? It's so interesting. Literally, and I'm not trying to be a Greek or Hebrew scholar, you understand that the Bible was originally written in those languages. Those languages have a greater depth than English does, and so it helps us at times to study these things out. But the term guile is literally the same Greek word for decoy. It means decoy or trick. It means deceit or deceptive. It means sly. It means cunning or craftiness. I'll repeat all this too. It means to deceive by quietly competing against somebody. Are you ready? I'll repeat those. The word guile literally translated means decoy or a trick or a deception. Or sly cunning or craftiness, or literally to deceive by quietly competing against others. Now, let me use an illustration that I bet most of us are familiar with. How many of you have ever heard of duck decoys? Oh, yeah. All right. Now, I'm not a duck hunter. We've got guys here that do. If you're against hunting, don't send me a letter. All right. Don't send me a letter. But you know what a duck decoy is. When a duck hunter goes out and they sit over a small body of water, they put several decoys out there. And what do those decoys look like? They look like real ducks, but they're fake ducks because they're competing against real ducks to deceive them to come in and get close, to make them feel safe until the hunter pulls out a shotgun and they're no longer safe anymore. All right. See, the decoy is a trick. It is a deception. It looks real, but upon closer inspection, it's fake. This is what guile is. It means to be quietly or deceptively competing against somebody, and they don't know it. Here we go. A decoy is a fake version of the real, so as to bring them closer to harm them, all right? It's a competition. Think about a sports competition. Think about what almost every sport has in common, right? Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, soccer, all these sports, they all have two things in common, offense and defense, okay? When somebody is quietly competing against others, you can tell because they're easily offended and they're always defensive. Ooh, married folks, have you ever quietly competed against your spouse? Oh, come on. You know what I mean by quietly competing? That means that you secretly, you don't like what they're doing. Or maybe it's another relationship. Maybe it's somebody that is in your family, or maybe you get jealous of somebody and you quietly hope that they fail. Have you ever quietly hoped that somebody fails? Oh, I am preaching to the most perfect church family ever. Seriously. Have you ever just looked at someone a little too close in their life or gotten critical and all of a sudden really you're really kind of secretly hoping they don't do well? Ever been there before? See, that's what guile is. That's what guile is. When we speak things to put somebody down, we make them look like less, right? When we complain is We're speaking guile. When we're offended, see, when you're offended, you're going on offense. You feel like you're empowered to score some points against them now. Or, you know, when you're somebody that's filled with guile, you'll be quickly defensive. Defensive about everything. Someone could just say a little thing. No, I didn't say that. No, that's not how I am. No, I didn't do that. That's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. You always do this. You ever seen someone that is so quick to be defensive? And by the way, that is not my wife. If you're wondering who I'm talking about, that is not her, not at all. I don't believe it's me, but I'm telling you, it'd be more likely to be me than it would be her, all right? And I say that, and it also helps score some points. Praise the Lord. No, but it's true. And we've seen people that are quick to be defensive, quick to be offended. Why? Because they're competing. They're competing. That's what guile is. And guile is what's going to hold you back from loving life, seeing good days, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We forget. See, we think that it's just outward sin that keeps us back from the plan of God. You know, we think it's just like using profane language, which we should be beyond that now. We don't use profane language. We're not stealing. We're not doing drugs. You know, we're not looking at profane things or listening to profane entertainment and so on, right? We should be beyond that. But there's also motives of the heart, things that are inward in our character that will hold us back from the promotion of God. God cannot promote you until you lay down the guile. God cannot promote you if you're speaking against somebody. Why are you quietly, when I say you, I mean the proverbial you or us. Why do we quietly compete against people? Because we think at times that people control our God-given destiny. But people don't control our God-given destiny. Can you bring up Ephesians 6:12 for us? For the sake of time, we'll just take a look at it up here on the screen. What does Ephesians 6:12 say, right? We wrestle not, here it comes, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's a reference to a demonic entity. This is talking about demonic spirits. We don't wrestle or fight against flesh and blood, which is a reference to human beings. Human beings are not our battle on this earth. As much as we think people hold us back or control our destiny, they don't. He says, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness, not human wickedness, in high places. And so when we get offended, or if we're quietly competing with other people, because we think that people control our destiny, but we've got to remember, if you are in the will of God, serving God with all of your heart, there is no one on this earth that can hold you back from the goodness of the Lord except one person, yourself. Do you see that? If you are seeking God with all your heart, you might be thinking, my boss is holding me back, or this is holding me back, or my spouse is holding me back, or this is holding me back. No, no person is holding you back. Our goal is not to change people, to be defensive with them or offended at them or to compete against them. Listen, don't change others. Change yourself. Yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. No matter how much we think people are our problem, they're not. Yes, the only human soul on this earth that can hold you back is you. Guile. Guile, the guile-free life is the first key that we're talking about here today if you want to see good days. Folks, so what does this mean? This means that you have to judge yourself. You have to judge yourself. Listen, if you are overly concerned and nonstop talking about what someone else is up to, I'm telling you, you're in guile. If you are just overwhelmed with what everyone, that, you know, this person's doing this, this coworker said this, they did that, you know, this family member did this, this minister did that, they're saying this, they're doing that. I'm telling you, that is the root of guile. Let it go. Oh, my goodness. Go before God. If you know that you have had guile in your life, folks, I'll be the first to tell you, you know, I believe in telling on Pastor Tim moments here in this church. There's been times when I've caught myself in that thought. And all of a sudden I've realized, you know what? I didn't even realize it. And it hurts me to say this, but I've caught myself quietly hoping that somebody fails, you know, or something. I don't like what they did. I don't like what they say. I don't like what they've been doing. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. And all of a sudden, all that turns into a silent competition. Oh, you don't want to do that, because guile's going to hold you back. And if you start telling others, I don't like what they do, I disagree with them, I don't like when they do this, they said this. I'm telling you, this political realm that we live in is so filled with guile, it's a huge trap for Christians. Nothing wrong with disagreeing with politicians and getting involved in the political process. You understand. But we're not, you know, letting it just consume you from the inside out. That's very, very dangerous. Oh, number one, we must live the guile-free life. If you've been quietly competing with somebody, you need to repent before God. You need to cast those thoughts down. You've got to keep your intentions and your motives pure. Stop being so easily offended at what people do. You can tell when somebody has the heart of God. They don't care what people say. They don't care what others think about them. They're not defensive. Listen, you know, if someone criticizes me, I hope I have the character to say, well, yeah, maybe you're probably right. we need to practice not looking at ourselves, you know, and put ourselves on some kind of pinnacle. Amen. Are you getting something out of this here today? Now, here's the second key to getting into a good season. Again, we're not teaching you just how to get out of a bad season, but how to get into a good one. There's a difference. Go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Boy, have you noticed everything with God is relational? Yeah. Everything is about our heart. Everything is about our character. It's how we talk to people, what we think about people. Do you know why? Because the Bible says God is love. And until we walk in his love, we are not going to experience his power. If we don't walk in love, we're not going to get to the good season that God has for us. I don't know if this is helping you, but I'll tell you what, you know, the Lord dealt with me last night in Erie and again here today, that there are certain, and I don't know who, I have no idea who the Lord's talking to or talking about, but there are individual situations here that are being dealt with. Like literally that there's people that have gone through tough times and maybe are on the brink of giving up or losing their faith or whatever. And a message like this is gonna pull you back from that edge. You know, a message like this is gonna encourage you. You're gonna, you know, realize I'm gonna keep on going. I'm gonna keep putting God first. The season will change. You know, praise the Lord. There's individual situations that are being dealt with. God's good to give us this message to help us. Go to Genesis 26. Amen. Hallelujah. If I'm not making you happy, I'm making me happy. I don't want to quietly compete. I don't want to be a decoy. Decoys aren't real. They're fake. No life in a decoy. I want to have life. I want to love life. I want to see good days. I want the beauty of God, the joy of God, the best of God to show up around my life. He cannot move something good if I or you or anybody are sitting there immersed in guile. You know, boy, I tell you what, this is why you got to watch out for social media. What is social media most of the time? It's one big guile fest. It's a guile fest. I don't like what you said. I dislike that. Thumbs down on you. I'm going to fight you with my status. You know? Listen, I'm just telling you, folks, you don't change anybody's mind on there. You don't. You'll not change anybody's mind by arguing with them on Facebook or what all the other social media sites are now. I don't even know what they're called. Praise the Lord. But I mean, it is such a guile fest. So-and-so said this. They did this. I don't like that. You better be careful, because you know what a lot of news commentary is? It's a guile fest. They don't just report the news anymore. They've got to have hour after hour after hour after hour of all these opinionated commentators that are just paid millions of dollars to hate the other side.
That's it.
Even what they say can be true, but they say it with a spirit of guile. They are guile mongers. Say, well, that's not happening on the news station I watch. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, that's only that other side that does that. Well, they might do it a little more, but everybody's got it. Because in the political realm, it lends itself to such guile. Quietly competing, hating. Christians are supposed to rise above that. All right, Genesis 26, let's start in verse 1. Here's the second key to getting into a good season. You got to sow your way into it. You've got to sow your way into it. And when I say sow, I'm not talking about just giving financially. You know, giving financially is just one of many ways to sow into the things of God. There's more to sowing than just giving, you understand. However, that is a part of it, and that should be included. All right, but we're talking about, you know, your actions, your attitudes, your obedience, your serving, your praising, yes, and your giving. You know, the way you treat people and so on. Look at this, Genesis 26, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now, this is talking about Isaac, the son of Abraham. And it says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. He said, live in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath or the promise which I promised unto Abraham your father. All right, let me tell you what's going on here. So in these days, we see Isaac, he was living in an economically depressed land. It was a famine. Nothing was growing. There was not enough food. The economy was bad. And what happened in those days when a famine hit that area, everyone would rush into Egypt. Because in Egypt was the Nile River Delta. And it was very, you know, just, you know, flush and green. And everybody, you know, could grow things there. It was a good economy. So everyone would rush into Egypt. And that's what Isaac was about to do. But the Lord stopped Isaac and said, wait, don't go to Egypt. Egypt represents what everyone else told you to do. Right? Don't go to Egypt. Don't do just what everyone naturally thinks to do. How many of you know you got to be led by the Spirit? He said, Isaac, stay right here. Stay in the famished land. Stay in the tough place.
Okay.
Here we go. Christians don't like this. He said, I know, Isaac, I know it seems hard, it seems difficult, but this is where I have you.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll promise you, Isaac, that if you'll stay in the place where I have you, I will be with you, I will bless you, and it won't stay like this forever.
Amen.
I'll prosper you even in a famine land. Now go over to verse 12. Go over to Genesis 26, 12. Isaac sowed in that land. What did he do? He invested in the place where God put him.
Amen.
He sowed in the famished land. He sowed in the bad economy. He didn't do what the world was doing. He did something different, and it was God's way. He sowed in that land and received in the same year a 100-fold return.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad? Yeah. And it says, look at those last five words, and the Lord blessed him. Why did the Lord bless Isaac? Because he was in the place where God had him, even if it didn't look like his own preference. That was not Isaac's preference. Isaac wanted to be in Egypt. He wanted to be where the better weather was. He wanted to be where the better economy was. you know. But I'm here telling you folks, and believe you me, this applies even to every local church. If you've been faithful year in, year out, and you've been in the place where God has called you to be, and you have continued to sow and to serve and to help and to be a blessing and to come to church and to praise and worship God and, you know, be led of the Spirit, I'm telling you, the Lord is going to bless you and I as well.
Amen.
Amen. Because what we're doing is we're sowing our way out of a hard season. We're sowing our way. See, those seeds that we sowed back in the tough season, they're eventually going to come up. They're eventually going to produce. Folks, I'm not here just to encourage you or get your hopes up. But when you've been faithful year in and year out, it is good and right to believe that you're going to see God's best. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Those things that God has put inside you, those desires, they are going to come to pass. You know, even in our society, we see a very difficult time, and we see, you know, tough political times and, you know, tough economic times. Folks, just remember, that's Egypt. That does not have to apply to us. You understand? God can tell you wherever he's called you to be, and if you've been faithful, I'm telling you, the political realm is not going to withhold your blessing. Do you get a hold of this? You know, you don't have to be subject to the world's economy. You're subject to God's economy. Do you see how Isaac was subject to God's economy? Amen. But what are you doing to sow in this hard season? What are you putting in the ground for your future, so to speak? You know, no, I'm not talking about just what you give to, though that is certainly, you know, that is certainly part of it. If you're a faithful tither, there's promises for you. If you're a giver, there's promises for you. If you're here in the house of the Lord surrounding yourself with the word of God, I'll tell you what, there's promises to you. If you're faithful to praise and to worship, there's promises for you. If you're serving in the ministry of helps, I'm telling you, there's promises for you. And if you have been faithful and if you have been that obedient, you know, servant of the Lord serving in his house, you can go before him and you can say, I believe that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But God's going to tell you, you've got a part in it. One, you can't have any guile against anybody else. Those attitudes towards other people are what's going to hold us back. Our words towards other people, you know, can hold us back if we're not careful, right? And also, two, what are you doing? What seed do you have in the ground? Yeah. Folks, if you're here today and maybe you're a younger Christian or you're just newer to being faithful in the house of the Lord, I'm telling you, stay faithful. You know, it's not about church attendance. It's about demonstrating a faithful heart. You know, be in the house of the Lord every opportunity you have to be there. When there's ministry of helps opportunities, we announce that we, you know, when the house of the Lord needs help, sign up for those things. Show up faithfully. Be a blessing to that department leader. Be a blessing to the family of God. Amen? Folks, are you getting some help here today? And you know what? That's my message. Oh. The clock says otherwise. And folks, just so you know, and again, I explained that at the beginning of the service. This is the message the Lord has for us. That is what I always want. You know, I would never write a sermon to be shorter because the weather is good. If you know that. You know, if anything, I would be just the opposite. And because, I mean, we got a nice full house here today, and you know, but you know there's always people, they see the weather, and they'll be like, oh, look how nice it's going to be. That's when I don't go to church. Well, if that's the way you look at God, then you're reserving the best for yourself and not for him. Nothing wrong taking a vacation. You know, every once in a while, if you got a weekend away with your spouse, that's wonderful. But don't be one of those people that see the nice weather on Sunday coming up and say, oh, or just wake up and be like, oh, this isn't a church day. This is a picnic day. This is a golf day. This is all this other stuff. You know, don't reserve the best for yourself. Reserve it for God. And so you know that I would never deliberately keep service short. So, well, in this last hour that we have, what should we talk about? Any questions, anybody? No. Amen. Did you get some help out of this? Don't you want the Lord to look at you and say, behold, a true believer, pure and without guile. I don't want to be a stitch in anybody's side except the devil's. I don't want to be a stitch in anybody's side. I realize I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not my business what people do. It's not my business how God leads somebody else. It's not my business what someone is up to. My business is just strictly to rightfully divide the word of truth, to live it and to preach it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just praise you and we worship you today. Father, you are so good. You are so faithful. Lord, we want that testimony that Nathanael had. Behold, a true and pure believer, one in whom is no guile. For Lord, you said that if we will love life and see good days, we have to refrain our lips that they speak no evil and that our tongue that it speaks no guile. Father, there is no profit in quietly competing against somebody. There is no profit on going on the offense and getting offended. There's no benefit in being defensive all the time, which is ultimately just pride. Father, we know that being defensive, it's selfishness. Lord, we just come before you and we just examine our character before you, our heart, our motives, our intentions. They must be pure. And Lord, you said if we're going to get into a good season, we've got to sow. And Father, we see that Isaac sowed in a land of famine and you still blessed him. Because the blessing of God will supersede the earth's economy. It'll supersede what the world is doing. Your blessing supersedes what's going on in the political realm. Father, we don't look to those things to be our help. We don't go into Egypt, so to speak. But Father, we know that our blessing comes from above. The Father of lights, in whom is no darkness, neither shadow of turning. Father, you're the source. Lord, we know that heaven is above us. Father, you know that you hear us when we pray in the name of Jesus. You're our help. And Lord, we just give you the praise and all the glory. With all eyes closed, with every head bowed, if everybody could right now, please just ask themselves this question in your heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I personally invited Jesus into my heart? Or ask yourself this question, just silently in your heart. If I were to die today, would I be in heaven with God? Or would I be separated from him in a place called hell? I will tell you the truth. There is a hell. But the good news is there's a heaven. And God gave Jesus Christ to you and to me, that he came to this earth. He never sinned one time, but yet he went to the cross. He paid the price for all of our sin. He shed his blood. He died and rose again on the third day. And the Bible says that whosoever shall believe upon him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. If you're here today and just being honest with yourself, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need to be saved. I know I need to be born again. If that's you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to send you off to talk to any leaders or anything, any church folks or anything like that. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I will lead us all in a prayer. Right there in your seat, you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that would say, yes, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to be born again. If that's you, could you just lift your hand real quick, just high enough so I can see it, and then I'll lead everyone in a prayer. Is there anyone here? Of course, as I look across this congregation, I know 99% of you, and you've made Jesus your Lord. So there's a very good chance that everyone here is born again, but we just have to make sure. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I want to know that heaven's my home, and I want to pray and invite Jesus in? Could you just lift your hand real quick? I just want to make sure. Just high enough where I can see it. Just just high enough where I can see it. Father God, I don't see any hands. But Lord, if for some reason there's somebody that can hear my voice today that has never made Jesus their Lord, then Father, I pray that laborers would be in their path. Father, I pray that they would call upon you, that they would ask you to be their Lord and Savior, to use their faith to receive salvation. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. You know I'm going to ask. Did you get some help here today? Folks, let's just be like Nathaniel, one in whom is no guile. Amen. Father God, we just praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, we'll be doers of it. And Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.